Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everyone? How are you today? This is The Cave Show. This is PLR. Abbreviated show today, but we have it packed and stacked ready for you. NBA free agency starts tomorrow. Moves made today. We'll definitely get into that. We have Kyle Fleegs calling in from the Suns debate. We're going to catch up with Tony Capobianco. He was at the Diamondbacks Marlins game down in Florida. We'll get into all of that. We'll get an update on that as well. Let's get rolling. Like I said, crunch time. Guest calling in about 9 minutes after. This is The Cave Show. This is PLR. We are brought to you by the one, the only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School and Chandler Heights in Chandler, Arizona. Let them know that PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you may have. You also can become a club member. Get a locker that backs up to the humidor. Never worry about your sticks going bad at all. Buy them, stash them, sit there, smoke them. A lot of television sports on all the time. Baseball, NBA draft, football's coming up. That's on. They will be showing Wimbledon. Everything is on there, and now they also serve beer and wine. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Let them know PLR sent you 10% off of any cigar purchase that you may have, and it's located in Chandler, Arizona, Alma School, and Chandler Heights. Like I said, welcome to The Cave Show. This is PLR. It is Thursday. All our calls are accepted on the Carrie Lackey Law line. We have tuning in right now, chiming in on that line, the one, the only Tony Capobianco, the Cuban Cowboy. Looks like we have a caller as well. So we'll get them all brought in at the exact same time here. And then, like I said, in about 7-8 minutes, we have Kyle Fleeg calling in from Suns Debate. We're going to talk a little bit of NBA with this upcoming free agency. On the line first, the one, the only, Tony Capobianco, the Cuban Cowboy. Tony, how you doing today, buddy?
Hello.
Hey, what's up? I didn't know if you were there. I was like, I think I lost. And it looks like we have a caller as well. Thank you for joining the Cave Show. You're on with PLR and the Cuban Cowboy. Who do we have the privilege of speaking with?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. This is your 4 o'clock guy.
Hey, what's up, Lou? How are you, buddy?
All right. Well, with the
NBA 4 o'clock guy, I'm the 4 o'clock guy.
Yeah, well, I usually call. I gotta take that back now. Well, with the free agent frenzy coming up, Paul George says that he is not gonna opt in. Why am I not surprised by that?
Well, it's a smart move. If he opts in, he gets $20 million next year. If he opts out, he gets almost $30 million. Even if he resigns with the same team. So that's just a matter of mathematics and a formality. Doesn't mean he's leaving, doesn't mean he's moving. It just means that that's a way for him to get his money.
Although I think you have to be crazy to get a $20.7 million anyway.
Well, but he's going to get that and more. The whole thing is if he opts in, he only gets $20 million for next year. If he opts out and signs a 1-1 or a 4-year or 5-year, or even if he goes to L.A. as a free agent, he's going to make about $27 to $29 million. So opting out is really the only way that he makes more money.
I get it.
Yep. One of those financial rigmarole things.
Right.
Tony, quickly, tell me what happened with those D-backs and those Marlins down in Miami today.
Well, starter Zach Greinke literally did everything today. He threw 7 shutout innings, got a base hit, and stole a base. Marlins had a Brian Holiday catcher who base runners hardly ever get to steal on this guy, and the freaking pitcher did today. That was pretty much the highlight of a nice and smooth 4-0 shutout. D-backs have won the season series, only lost 2 games. They got more wins since May 28th than anyone else in baseball. And they're only a couple weeks away from getting two of their biggest bats back. So, hooray for the Sedona.
Wow, you sounded real sincere there.
Yeah.
Well, they're the second team I like. I mean, I got to watch the Marlins lose a lot, but lucky for me, I get to see them beat the Mets.
Just well, the Mets are going to do something. They lost again last night and blew a lead.
Well, the Mets are getting ready for Tim Tebow. And honestly, at this point, it makes no sense not to bring him up. I say sooner rather than later. You want to sell some tickets. You want to see what the guy can do. Put it all in one package. Bring Tim Tebow
right.
up. Why not? What are you playing for at this point? And I don't mean that in a facetious way, but you're not catching the Braves. You're not catching the Phillies. Even the Nationals, who aren't playing great, you're not catching them. You're not going to catch either Milwaukee or Chicago for a wild card. You're not going to catch the Diamondbacks or the Dodgers for a wild card. Hell, you probably aren't going to even catch the Giants. So I'd say, obviously, they're going to wait until after the All-Star game before they do it. But at that point, bring him up. Why not? And just to share this really quickly, the Diamondbacks now officially have the best record in the National League.
It all gets worse for the Mets. If the Marlins win this series, the Mets will be in last place.
Who would have thought that?
They're going on tomorrow's game with Jake DeGrom facing one of the centerpieces in the Marcell Ozuna trade with the Cardinals. So you get a rookie versus an ace. So if the Marlins win tomorrow, that's a pretty good sign that things are going to go down and you're going to eventually get another run from Don LaGreca.
Who would have thought that to start 11-1 for the season, they're going to be in last place, more than likely?
Everybody else other than my fans.
It's like it almost never happened.
It really is. When the projections came out before the season started, and all honestly, the Mets were not one of the teams projected to do extremely well. A lot of folks liked their pitching rotation, but then you had the Matt Harvey blow up. He obviously wasn't what he was. Then you had a ton of injuries. Everyone expected Washington to be good. They expected Atlanta to be better. Philly is kind of the surprise. Everyone thought the Marlins would be terrible, and they are, but no one – I mean, I don't think anyone thought that after this weekend of baseball that the Mets had the possibility of being the worst team in that division. And I think that's a fair assessment because everyone thought the worst team would be the Marlins, not just in that division but in baseball.
And the Reds are on a bit of a hot stretch themselves. So really, it's the Mets and the Marlins playing for the last place in all the National League.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. So on the Kerry Lackey line right now, Tony Capobianco, the Cuban Cowboy, and we have a friend of the program, a man we're calling in from the East Coast, from Jersey. Coming up shortly, the one, the only Kyle Fleeger Fleegs will be calling in to talk about free agency, the Suns, what the Suns need, and all that stuff. It looks like here as we get close to free agency, names today will start to get a little bit more fluid. Places where they land will get a little bit more fluid. Lou, what else do you have for us, sir?
Well, it was not, I think, a surprise. The NFL suspended Jameis Winston the first three games of the upcoming season. That's not a big surprise to me at all.
No, we knew that was coming. Tony, I believe that's on the Sports Cave Instagram from about a week and a half ago with the phrase waiting for the NFL to announce or something of that nature. So we knew that one was coming down the pike. Jameis Winston, as we've said, a lot has to grow up, and that's really just the way it is. But listen, gentlemen, I'm going to have to jump. We have a full show tomorrow, but got to jump. Have Kyle Fleeger. Fleegs
right.
from Suns Debate Online with us on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. And you guys are more than welcome to hang on. We're just going to switch this topic over to the Suns, what they need, what their projections may be, and any type of free agency as well. So just to give you a heads up on that, and on the Kerry Lackey Law Line right now, the one, the only Suns debate very own Kyle Fleeger. We know him as Fleeg.
Okay, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
My main man. What's going on? All right, buddy. Thank you. Fleeg, what's going on? Let me try this again. Now I pushed the right button. Fleegs, what's going on, buddy?
I was just saying, I guess I'm just like everybody else. I'm eagerly awaiting what's going on with LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard and Paul George in free agency.
Okay, we're going to do this a little bit differently. On the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one, the only Kyle Fleeg of Fleegs with us, I'm going to give you a list of five players. And I want you to tell me where you think they're going to end up. And who knows, I may be lying to you. I may give you six. And we're going to do it in rapid-fire type mode, okay?
All right.
All right, LeBron James.
Cleveland.
Paul George.
Lakers.
Boogie Cousins.
Washington.
Aaron Gordon.
Indiana.
Kawhi Leonard.
The Lakers.
Okay, now let's work in reverse. The Lakers are really going to give up the assets that San Antonio is looking for to get Kawhi. You really believe that?
Look, I'll say this right now. I have loathed the San Antonio Spurs since I remember watching basketball as a Suns fan. And Kawhi Leonard, a San Antonio Spurs, so it's hard for me to say nice things about him, but Kawhi Leonard is truly one of the best three players of the in the NBA when healthy. Now, I get everyone wants to put this whole when healthy thing, but I think his injuries being overblown much more than the stability of his situation. He basically sat this year out by choice, and I think that the decision to do that was a smart one. It let him get 100% healthy for this next contract that he's about to play for, and personally, I think if you have a chance to get either LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, or Kawhi Leonard, or Steph Curry, I'll add him in there, that one of those five players, that's my top five, you have to do whatever it takes because nothing else matters. Brandon Ingram, if he is the best version of himself, will be lucky to be Kawhi Leonard. So, I mean, I think you have to get a top three player when available to you. And there seems to be a lot of pressure on L.A. to make the trade.
There is. And you know what? I was on another show last night, Fleeks, and I came at it a little bit of a different angle. For 8 years ago, everyone was chasing whatever LeBron would do, and you got to match up to LeBron's team. And I thought to myself, well, wow, when you really stop and think about those first 4 years in Miami, Dallas got him the 1 year. San Antonio got him the last year, and San Antonio really should have got him twice. So they were chasing this person, this mythical goddish type NBA figure, because we know that he's one of the best to ever play the game. When I thought at that time, well, San Antonio wasn't really chasing anybody. San Antonio was just being San Antonio and being good enough to do it. Then he goes to Cleveland the first year. They make the mistake of beating him the second year because that only allowed Kevin Durant to come there. And I say that facetiously by making a mistake, but every star aligned perfectly for them to beat Golden State. Draymond got suspended. Iguodala hurt his back. Bogut got hurt and was out for this. I mean, every star that could possibly line up, lined up. And now I think the realization is coming that, or realization is here that, don't chase LeBron, chase Golden State. See, in all honesty, that the Lakers should make a move that guts their youth for what could possibly be 2 years, and knowing that next year is probably a year they won't win a title anyway, and giving up a Kyle Kuzma. We know they're not sending ball because that's just not going to work in San Antonio. A Kuzma, two picks, and a Brandon Ingram for a possible two-year run when everyone in Golden State and every signal in Golden State points they're staying together for another 3 years. I don't know if I do that. I really don't.
See, but here, let me ask you a question. Where do we come to the conclusion that it's going to be a two-year run? Because this is the catalyst. Kawhi is going to stay. If you go after Kawhi and you're the Lakers, you're going to sign Kawhi to the 5-year max, right? You're going to get him on that contract somehow, whether it's a sign and trade with San Antonio. The money will come out that way. He'll get his $209 million, and he'll be with the Lakers for the next 5 years. That'll get LeBron to come to L.A., which makes it so that my prediction about him being in Cleveland is wrong. But I just think he opts in for 1 year, but he can still come next year in free agency. Either way, I think long-term LeBron ends up out of Cleveland. I just think LeBron opts into his contract this year, and I think that's what we'll obviously know whether I'm wrong in a day at the most. But with Kawhi Leonard, he's a top three player. We forget they were crushing the Kevin Durant Warriors, devastating them in game
in
one of a series with Kawhi.
In game one.
Sure, but the point was is that Kawhi was obviously, when that game was playing out, in that game, you could tell Kawhi Leonard was, if not better than Kevin Durant, certainly on Kevin Durant's level. And that's the three best guys in the game, LeBron, KD, and Kawhi. So if you have a chance to get that player for the next 5-7 years, it doesn't matter whether or not LeBron comes this year or next year or never. It doesn't matter whether you get Paul George. You're the Lakers. You will get something, someone. A top three foundational piece is what you need.
But you're mortgaging it. Okay, in San Antonio, he was playing with other guys, though. If you trade away Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, and two of your first-round picks, who does he play with?
He plays with Lonzo Ball. He plays with Julius Randle, LeBron James, and Paul George.
Paul George comes. There's a lot of ifs.
Yeah, well, of course, but that's the reason you do it if you're the Lakers, is that's the move you're trying to make. You're trying to get at least two of those guys because instantly it doesn't matter who the fifth person is. If you have Ball, any two of the three, LeBron and Paul George, LeBron and Kawhi, Kawhi and Paul George, and Julius Randle, you've got size, you've got passing, and you've got defensive versatility, and that's all you need. And that's a incredible start.
You have no shooting. You're not going to beat Golden State with that roster.
Kawhi Leonard's a really good shooter. So is Paul George. So is LeBron James.
Okay. 3-point shooting. If you would put that three in a 3-point shooting contest, which inevitably ends up happening when you play Golden State. You honestly think LeBron and Paul George, who I love, but when 2 for 16, when chips counted the most, and Kawhi Leonard are better shooters than Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Kevin Durant?
They're not better, but they're close enough to them as shooters, and they're 1,000 times better in other facets of the game. Steph Curry has to hide on defense. He gets switched on every possession. These guys, what are you going to do, switch LeBron onto Kawhi, back to LeBron, and onto Paul George? You're in trouble. They become a lot more dangerous against the pick and roll, which is what the Warriors' bread and butter is.
I don't know. I think everyone has fallen in love with these names, and I just don't see these names put together when technically they all play the same position, being good enough to take Golden State. So, and I understand that, but let's just say they are. Let's say they give Golden State a run for their money, right? Or say they even give Houston, who's not being respected at all in this, a run for their money. If they don't win the title in year one, LeBron's 35. And I don't care who you are athletically. I don't care what kind of freak of nature you are. At 35, something starts to slip. It's father time.
LeBron has denied that narrative his whole career. He is Iron Man. He is. He's never hurt. He plays 100 games a season. He's played more games than everyone else. Most people that were drafted with him are retired.
Well, hold on. He played 82 games last year. The last 2 years, he took his Miami vacation rest in the middle of the season.
Yeah, but that was 2 weeks, and then he played an extra 20 games at the end of the season because he made it to the finals again.
So I don't know. But let's get off the if they win argument. But you would really mortgage your future for that. That was really my question, I guess.
See,
we got
I
off
think
on
that
a tangent.
Is your future. Like, who cares about the future? We care about titles right now. You worry about the future and the future.
At one point, Golden State was asked to trade Steph Curry, and they said, no, we're not mortgaging our future and letting him go. Klay Thompson was offered for Kevin Love. No, and this is before they won titles. No,
We're not mortgaging our future. Well, you got,
well,
you got
after
David
they won
Lee.
The first title.
No. Before, no, they offered Kevin Love. Remember before that, before they won their first title, Klay Thompson was off. He got offered like three times for.
Oh yeah,
David
but they were
Lee.
Both like the same age, right?
Right. But they
how
went
many
to.
Years?
They also. David, not David Lee, Kevin Love. David Lee, people said, you're nuts for keeping David or for getting David Lee out and bringing Draymond in into that position. And they said, yeah, no, we're going to go with the young guy. I guess my point is, at some point they said, you know what, our futures is what's going to win us a title. And with the young Harrison Barnes at the time, back when he could shoot, those guys actually, they wouldn't trade any of. They wouldn't mortgage their future, and now look what that morphed into. I'm just saying, we always say the now, but you draft for a reason. And I've heard
yeah,
you
but the Lakers
and many
and the Warriors aren't the same teams. The Warriors didn't have the. Nobody gave a crap about the Warriors before they had the team they have now. The Lakers are the Lakers. They have they have different pressure. And let's be clear, I'll throw up in my mouth if the Lakers get all these players because it's going to make watching the Suns play them four times a year just miserable. But
see, I disagree. I don't. I think the Suns are actually, for the first time in a long time, I think the Suns have a plan. And I heard you say this, and I'll go back and pull the tape if I have to. I asked you one time, would you trade Josh Jackson away if it meant bringing in a superstar? And you said to me, no, because what he's going to be is going to be incredible. That's your future. What's the difference?
The difference is that when you trade for a superstar as the Suns with 1 year left on their contract, they're going to leave potentially at a much higher rate than the superstars who the Lakers acquire. You know they're going to sign an extension if you're the Lakers, or at least 9 out of 10 players the Lakers go get re-signed. The Suns, that ratio is much worse. So you have to – there's more to it. You have to look at the context.
I saw a tweet or a message somewhere you sent saying they should sign, and you know this is one of my guys, like literally one of my guys, Jabari Parker. Why?
So I think the Suns are going to be fun to watch, and like you said, I think they have a plan, and I think a part of that plan is to acquire as much young talent, and Jabari Parker is one of these guys who, for back of – and you'll notice the same thing with Dante Exum. I like guys who maybe had some injury problems. They're going to be cheaper than they normally would be coming into their second contract because of their top three, top five pick status. And Jabari's game, the ability for him to play from different spaces on the floor, is the areas where the Suns are currently weak. He has a pretty good mid-range game. He can extend the floor. He seems to be decent, you know, with the ball in his hands, which is something the Suns need more of, is ball handling. And so because he also has size, for, you know, he's a bigger player. He's a little bit versatile. Mm-hmm. He can play the three, the four. I just really think he fits in with not only where the Suns lack offensive power, but it fits the timeline. I mean, he's a young guy. If his career is going to rebound, you want to get in early. Because if it rebounds, it could be a really big rebound into something special versus some of these guys who are 27, 28, 29, and you already know what they are, and you know they have value, and they might be better right now than Parker or more reliable, but certainly the Suns don't care if you're very good this year or next year. We want to be contending for championships in 2020 and beyond.
I'm going to give you some names. I want you to tell me if they're going to be on this roster next year. And then one of them, I'm surprised because I wrote this person should be gone and exiled, and now I think not only is he going to be here, I think he's going to be a starter. But Alan Williams, will he be a Sun next year?
No.
Marquese Chris, will he be a Sun?
No.
Jonathan Bender, will he be a Sun? Did I say Jonathan Bender?
You
I
did.
Really said Jonathan Bender.
Jonathan Bender will definitely not be a Sun.
Will Bender be a Sun?
Dragon Bender 100% will be a Sun.
Okay. Will Elfrid Payton be a Sun?
No, but I'm now open-minded after he cut his hair.
Oh, wow. Alex Lynn?
No.
Brandon Knight?
I don't think so, but I kind of – who knows? I kind of hope so with Brandon Knight. I hope he has a good year. The problem with Brandon Knight when he came in was that he kind of didn't seem like he wanted to fit into the system. He likes to score the basketball. He didn't want to be, you know, as off the ball. He likes to be on the ball a little bit. We're going to have ball handling opportunities for him, and we're going to have open shots for him when they're created by Ayton and Booker and Jackson through the pick and roll and things like that. So I think Knight, if he can get his shot back to 38 to 40% from three and, you know, get a little bit of discipline in his game, his shot selection, play within the system that we're trying to create, which after 2 years of injury, he hopefully will be humbled by that. You know, Paul, when you ask him, you know, that's what I would ask him if it were me there, is I'd ask him, you know, if he feels like the injuries made him more open to coaching and more open to changing his game. He'll probably say no, but the answer is probably yes, you know, and or hopefully yes. And if it is yes, the Suns could have something sneaky decent in him. I mean, I know $15 million is a lot, but what do you have to lose now?
Well, you're so busy. I think he's your opening day starting point guard.
I think so too. But the lineup I want to see more often is Booker, Bridges, Jackson, Bender, Ayton. And I'll run the pick and roll with either Booker or Jackson. And even Bender could run the pick and roll with, he can pick and pop and do different things too. He can be both the handler and the shooter in those situations a little bit easier. And I love that lineup.
I'm with you, except, you know, there's one person I just haven't bought into. I'm sorry. I just got to see more. I'm still not bought in to Bender at all. I'm still calling Jonathan Bender. I'm just not sold. Hey,
you're clearly not bought in.
I'm bought in. I'm not even, like, going to the supermarket that he's at. I just don't – I'm not in love with his game at all. I think there's a difference between having potential, which I think every person in the NBA has – at the time they came into the league, otherwise you wouldn't be in the NBA because you have to have talent to be there. So I'm not saying he's like this talentless bum. I just think that he can do a lot of little things well, but there's not one thing that he does enough, well enough, for me to honestly give him more than 7-8 minutes as a backup reserve in some games in the NBA. I just haven't seen it.
It's
and
just
every
not
time
fair. He was tragically misused. Do you remember when I told you Ayton doesn't block shots or that he doesn't get any steals, and you said that's because he was played at the four instead of the five? Well, Dragan Bender was played at the three last year by the coaching staff in Phoenix. The three. He's 7'1". So we were playing him massively out of position. Bender needs to spend about 10 minutes a game at the four and 10 minutes a game at the five this season. And
he's
back
not
up eight.
Strong enough to play the four.
Who cares?
Because he'll get killed on the other end. And I do know a
There's
seven
nobody
footer
that
plays the three.
Out of the block. Nobody's good at center. Rudy Gobert got run off the floor in the playoffs. Players who are traditionally big men are the ones who would beat up Dragan Bender, and they're not any good.
Like I said, hopefully I see it this year. I just don't see it. You're right. I really do hope that you're right. I honestly just don't believe unless he gets stronger physically, I don't see it. Maybe because he came in at 17 and he still had a 17-year-old body and it just hasn't got strong enough. To me, he's Alex Len, just in a different position.
No, that's terrible. Alex Len can't shoot 38% from three like Dragan Bender did. On a lot of attempts. It's not like he made the second most threes on the team, if I remember correctly. So, you know, that's pretty good for the Suns behind Devin Booker, who's a pretty renowned shooter as the three-point champion. You know, he's somebody who's already shown 38, 40% from three. He, I'm telling you, is an excellent passer. And once he does build strength, because he's 20, let's put it this way, he's the second youngest player on the Phoenix Suns, right? And he's, I want to say, would have been the 11th youngest player drafted in the first round this year. And he's been in the league. This is going on his third year. So if you can't overstate how young he is. And then this is an important year for him, though. I'll agree with that. He's got to show us something this year.
I hope so. Because you know what? I know you probably have, like, a Bender jersey in every color and even the alternate jerseys. I'm hoping he comes through
for you.
But you really intrigued me with the Jabari Parker message that you sent, because I would love to see the Suns start a lineup with Aiden, Parker, Jackson, Knight, and Booker. And I honestly think that five could run and compete with just about any team in the NBA.
Well, you have really interesting versatility with Bridges with 6'7" size and a 7'2" wingspan. Warren, who seems to be improving, who really needs to get back that confidence he showed in short spurts on his three-point shot. And then you've got some guys that are, you know, you've got Chris and Bender, and you just got a lot of versatility. We still need guards, but at the same time, if anything comes out of Brandon Knight, Tyler Ulis was truly awful, truly, truly awful last year. The starting point guards for the Suns last year were epically bad. It's probably the worst. I don't know the statistics or analytics, but I'd say if you looked it up, it was probably the worst single season by Suns point guards in their history of 50 years.
You don't even have to look at analytics. You just use your eyes. Let me ask this. We got time for one more. Tell me if I'm off base. You know how you've got all your Bender jerseys? I feel the same way about Mikal Bridges. I honestly believe he's Scottie Pippen with a better shot.
So I love Mikal Bridges also. I thought that trade was much better for Phoenix than people make it out to be, because giving up that Heat pick, although it is unprotected and it might be the year where high school players are eligible for the draft, we were salivating over this Heat pick that we just drafted at 16. 2 years ago, everyone thought the Heat were in a downward spiral, and that by the time this pick conveyed, that it was going to be this really amazing pick. It was number 16. So I don't mind the giving up the pick in the future, and I think that his shooting ability is better than Scottie Pippen's without question. I don't think his defense will hold up at as many positions as Scottie. I don't think he'll be capable of guarding most fours, but I do think he could guard 1 through 3 really capably, which is a desperate need for Phoenix. And Scottie could guard fours and to an extent some fives with that, you know, and hold his own. But so I think he was a little bit bigger, I think, than Mikal, but Mikal is, he's a winner. The Suns don't have any winners. Everyone's a loser. They have Tyson Chandler, who won something, you know, one time. And then everyone else has lost at every level their whole career. This is a kid who played for back-to-back championships and was the best player on the floor on the best team. I love him. I think he's a huge pickup for the Suns. I think he plays 30 minutes a game right away.
Just so you know, the Kentucky guys did all win. Just throw that out there. Next week.
No, they didn't. Booker won what?
They won. They all won games. They didn't all win titles, but they won a whole lot of games.
No, I'm talking championships. I'm talking about banners. That's what we need in Phoenix. Banners, Paul.
Well, we do see them in the arena. They just belong all to the Mercury. Next week.
Thanks, Diana.
Next week. Got to get you back after these free agents start signing so we can see what the Suns ended up doing.
Let's talk.
All right, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Hey, please, before you jump, tell everyone where they can get you.
You can catch me on Twitter representing @SunsDebate, and I will be glad to engage any Dragon Bender haters that want to talk.
man, I love going at it with Fleegs about Bender. Fleegs, is it out yet? Did the DNA come back?
He is my son.
All right, cool. Well, you heard it here. All right, my man. Thank you.
All right, I'll see you later.
All right, buddy. The one, the only Kyle Flieger Fleegs from Suns Debate. Hey, thanks everyone for joining us today. This has been The Cave Show. You do know that you can catch us on social media. Instagram, Facebook fan page, @TheSportsCave. Cave is with a K. TheSportsCave.com. Cave is with a K. And you can get me directly at PLR on Sports on Twitter. Appreciate you joining us today. Thanks to Tony Capbianco. Thanks to our friend Lou that gives a call in. And thanks, of course, to Kyle Flieger Fleegs. All called on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Until next time tomorrow, this is PLR. This is The Cave Show. Everyone have a great day. Take care now. Bye.